Hey, what's up, world? It's your host, DJ Ace, and I'm back with another episode from the podcast, The Authentic Millennial, where we help motivate millennials by the millions to live a life of authenticity. And today, I got a special guest with me. She goes by the name of Jennifer. She's a good friend of mine. And we're going to talk about some hearts today. What type of hearts? You're just about to find out. And here we go. Hello, Jennifer. How are we doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm lit. Let's go. Lit. Oh, we lit. We lit. So, Ms. Jen, please tell the listeners who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Jennifer Lentini. I would consider myself a creator. I can also say artist, but I'm also led by the spirit, I guess. For tonight, I just want to focus on all out of love. So tell me, what would you think all out of love, like what, give me an example of something you would do all out of. So whether it's something you're doing all out of your dreams or all out of your reach, you can take that in many different ways, oppositionally.
But like being me being a father, I would consider that I do that all out of love.
Right.
You know, all out of the fact, all how I love my daughter. I mean, I love her a lot. You know what I mean? Like, she's my world, you know? And these things that we grew up with, normalizing the way people treated us, the way we devalued ourselves, you know, we will turn that around, be oppositional to that, and say, no, I am of value. I deserve to be with somebody who's healed as well. Right. Who loves completely and wholly, unconditionally. You know, that's what we're striving for. What am I? What am I doing? But you know what? I don't need your accolades. I don't need you. You're broken. You don't understand what I do. I love my daughter. I got her in therapy. You know what I mean? Because I just want her to be able to express herself and understand what the fuck she's seeing and what's happening. It's a chaotic situation. Her mom lives here. Her dad lives here. I understand. I just want to let her know, yo, I'm here for you because I love you and I do out of love.
Yeah. And it's all about love. That's what it's all about. I mean, if a child understands, if no matter how their parents are, as long as they were loved, that's what shapes them and that's what develops them. And I think it's great that you have your daughter in therapy because she is getting the tools to be able to reflect and understand. And the only thing that I think really helped me, and it was something I actually recently posted in the group, was the first page of the book that I started writing and what I felt and how I understood myself, how I was able to read back at all of my diaries and see what I was writing and how all I wanted was love and how, you know, I would look back and I would see how I wasn't putting myself at a value. It wasn't a self-love. It was always loving something else on the outside. Now, if you really want to break down the words and get deep, we could do that because I think that if you do things all out of love, then that means you're in love. And it can be in love with yourself or in love with someone else. And a lot of the times, people don't know how to love. People don't know how to put different types of love on different things. And I think it's interesting that you compare your love to how you love as a father, because I'm sure that it may be different in how you would love in a relationship. You know, I only learned love and putting myself last after having a child. You know, not eating the last piece of something, knowing that my daughter would want it. Or if I think, you know, something tastes good, I'll leave the best parts for my daughter, you know, sacrificing what I want, you know, for all out of love for my daughter, whether it be something she eats or something that she receives as far as my time and priority. I think that that's a big thing to say. And as far as the factors for self-love would go into your values and whether or not you're thinking about something that's like a decision that you have to make, whether it be you're deciding based on monetary value or you're deciding based on relationship value, whether or not you're having to take a risk, and if you're willing to take that risk, how deep your faith is and your acknowledgement of your mindset is in that very moment, you know, as far as your perception goes. So if you were to think about through the spirit, you know, I mentioned I started with that and how I became more spiritual. It says in the Bible, and it talks about flesh and how we all sin and how we all live in the flesh. And, you know, that is something that we do. If you think about it, that's just, you know, a selfish act of being. So if you're going to make a decision based off of yourself or your flesh, and we're just playing with words here, because you don't have to think of it spiritually. It's really the definition of the words and that you're playing with, and, you know, whether it goes on to a positive connotation or a negative connotation. But I think a lot of the times the problems with people that can't love, or they can't love in certain ways, is because they have a block. And that block is there, and you can either have it on or off. And it really all depends on what your mindset is.
Yes. And I want to say, people, God, but you got to know what love is. And then the thing is, you got to know what love is for you. Because the definition, if you Google it, or, you know, maybe Webster or whatever, that's still a generic definition. You know, what love means to you, how you love, how you need love to be, you know, reciprocated. That's a whole other ballgame that a lot of people don't know about. And I wish I'd known about a lot earlier. I would have made more loving decisions, but I didn't love myself at the time. So I got with people who I had no business being with, you know, where there's a whole pool of people out here who are love, they healed. And they're so ready to be loved and want to give love as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, we have to leave our comfort zones. You know, the what we grew up learning to fall in love with, what we learned to like. Like, no, that's exactly what you got to leave. You know, and really open your eyes and your ears. And I get that. It's tiring. Working self-love is tiring because you have to debunk every belief that you have, or that you was ingrained to have, indoctrinated with, you know, like they just kept beating into you like, no, this is what it looks like. This is what it is. And mind you, it's the same people who don't know love themselves, mm-hmm. who are telling you what love looks like. And we are fools because we don't know any better. And we follow those guidelines and then ask ourselves and wonder why we keep getting up into fucked up relationship one after the other. Because we never really stepped outside the box and like, yo, what the fuck do I really know about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it all goes back to learning from your inner child. And it was crazy that I made the decision based off of whether or not I was ready to do something like this, because I've always wanted to start my own podcast and do something meaningful in this way, that I heard your last podcast about the inner child, that it just really sparked my interest, because I posted something on one of my Instagram feeds for when I was a child, and I thought it was interesting that I said at age 7 that I didn't want to get married. You know, I was doing a little tutorial about how to put on makeup, and, you know, it was like on a VHS tape that I was watching. Yeah, I saw that post. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that I said I didn't want to get married, but I wanted to have kids. Mm. And you know, why would I say that if I've always wanted, from what I remember and what I've read in my 15 diaries and what I've looked back and reflected on, was that something that I wanted? Now, at that moment in time in my childhood, maybe marriage wasn't represented in a way that was something that I thought I wanted, mm-hmm. because of what I remember at that time in my parents' relationship.
Yep.
And even though I was little, I still was able to witness how they dealt with their relationship. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. My parent, I know I never had a doubt that my parents loved me. But when it came to them loving each other, I don't know what that example set for me growing up in comparison to what it would be in a relationship setting.
Correct.
Yeah. I mentioned I wanted to tell you something funny. And I thought this was pretty interesting because after I watched the Joyce Meyer video, there was some kind of advertisement for hearts, Book of Hearts, or how to determine what type of heart you have. So I called the, you know, the 1-800 number, and I was about to order one of the books, but they didn't necessarily have it. So I was going to try to order. Oh, before I knew whether or not they had it, I was giving my information. And so as I said Jennifer Lentini, and I spelled my last name. And, you know, as soon as the spelling of my last name went off, you hear this cuckoo clock in the background. It goes cuckoo, cuckoo. It's like right after I said my name. So I was like, oh, that's a little trigger for you to know that I'm a little cuckoo. You know, like it's like it happened at the same time. I was just trying to make a joke. I said, I'm sorry. I actually have this, and you could play it in the clip. I have a recording of this kind of after I mentioned it, because I said, wait a minute, before we go on, was that a cuckoo clock? And he said, yeah. And he goes into the cuckoo clock, and he said that it was some a black.
Yeah, that explains it.
Continue. Yeah, it's from the Amish country, and it is like, you know, this old clock from Germany, and, you know, I didn't understand it. I remember a clock that, you know, you just hung on your wall, you put batteries in, and then, you know, a certain time, the little bird would come out and go, cuckoo, 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 you know, but he's telling me he had to fire it up, and I'm like, what do you mean, fire it up? What does that even mean? And he's tried to explain it to me, and I'll let you play that clip. So that I don't have to go into it too much. But what I interpreted by that, which if you look at the first video that I posted in the group of Ace of Hearts, his name is James Adlam, and I loved seeing him on stage when I would go to conventions in regards to the network marketing company that I started with, and he makes this good comparison, and he likes to play with words, but...
Wait, what happened with the cuckoo clock?
I'm getting to that. He said everything is your keychain. You are the keychain to your destiny, right? So if we're talking about keychains and firing it up, you look at how this cuckoo clock he described to me, and you're not understanding because you haven't heard the clip yet. I should have let you hear it first. But how he described it to me is that there are these keychains that you have to wind up like a spring, and it creates a momentum. And that's what makes the clock go cuckoo. So it works off of a pendulum, and you have to fire it up. And if you don't fire it up, it has no power. So if you want to make an analogy of what that really means is, you mentioned you were fired up at the beginning of the podcast. Well, yeah, your momentum was up. You're excited. You're putting that energy out. It's all about positive energy. What are you putting out there in order for you to get to your destiny? Are you that link to the keychain in which is going to get you and others to your destiny? And how are you going to do that? And the only way to do that is by knowing yourself, being able to reflect, having an open mind, being able to understand yourself, or willing. It's all about your willingness.
And let me tell you, I'm starting to learn how rare that is.
Yeah, very rare. Very.
That's the rarity that I'm starting to understand. And like, damn, it gets, and this is where they say it, where it gets lonely. Because you start to understand that there's not a lot of people who are willing to work on themselves. Mm-hmm. Or some will say they are, but they're not really doing it. They play to disguise it very well, but they're not really fucking working on themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get disheartened a little bit. But it's those times of benefit. Like when you see where you being consciously aware, you're like, damn, I like being aware. Like, this is what I live for. So you got to hold on to those moments, because a lot of people are not awakened, you know? So you got to hold on to those moments when you did realize, like, damn, this is a good moment. Or I'm blessed to be in awareness.
Yeah.
And hold on to those moments. And then use it or remember it or recall it when you're feeling.
That's actually called something. It's the Feynman technique.
Yeah, you know?
You know? It's very funny that you said that.
So you just remember, like, okay, I remember those days when I did feel blessed to be awakened. So ending.
Do you think that being able to do that was a part of you being a writer and being able to reflect off of what you wrote and read and recall, like you mentioned?
Yes, you know? Definitely. I mean, journaling helps it. Meditation helps it. Being an artist, you know, just absorbing the world, taking it in. You know, I was just telling Nori this evening, you know, how blessed are we to be artists? You know, that we get to be sensitive. We get to feel the whole entire world, absorb it, ingest it. And
wow.
Then
thank you,
Jesus. Cycle it, you know, recycle it, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And then figure out a way to now say it back out to the world that people can understand it.
Yes, exactly.
The definition of an artist, man. That's
wow.
That's what it is for
me. You nailed it. You definitely did. That was right on point, right on target.
I'm like, how fire is that? Like, yo, that's a blessing. And that's when you're like, yo, I love being woke. I love being aware. I love being consciously. I mean, it sucks because there's people around you that you wish would be awakened as well, but they're not there, and you have to accept that
and understand your boundaries.
Right. We can't keep trying to haul and pull them into our world, mm-hmm. because they're not ready.
Yep.
And let me tell you that's you have to be a certain shape to be where you are, and that person's not in that shape, and it hurts. But you have to learn to love from a distance. You have to learn to love with a boundary. You know, you cannot let those people energy absorb you. Like, I can't let my child's mother's energy absorb me.
Mm-hmm.
I still gotta be me for the world. I still gotta be me for myself. I still gotta be me for my daughter. You feel me? So I gotta be me. You know, I can't let her, I can't allow, because she's not even doing, she's not even aware, so I can't even point the finger at her. It comes back on me. I'm allowing it. I'm allowing to interpret what she's doing a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm maybe, you know, to her, she's like, I'm just living. But to me, I'm saying, okay, this is a negative thing what she's doing, mm-hmm. you know? But then I have to also say that, control what I can control. And if I see something happening, I can figure out a way to combat that later,
mm-hmm.
or just put a cushion around it. So when the blow does strike, it doesn't hit as hard, you know? I have no idea what I just
said. Well, no, it's a measure. It's a matter of being able to measure what you're willing to put up with or not.
Yes.
And if you think of what behaviors are, they're patterns and they're developed, you know, and they can be changed, but you have to be aware of that. And if you're not aware, then you're at a disadvantage. And becoming aware is difficult for some people because of their mental perception. And it's a matter of being able to perceive something a certain way. And I'll give you an example. I used to do care management as an outreach and engagement person who would work with people who had mental health issues and or major medical issues towards the end. And I would reach out to people who either had a high number of visits to their emergency room, which meant they needed to be linked to doctors and all that. But in any event, there was this one client who I knew her for a while. It was before the healthcare system changed, where it included many more things, where we had less visits and it was an in-person visit. And this particular client, I would reserve a lot of time for it because she would like to talk. I knew she had to talk. This particular day, though, I just went over to get some paperwork signed and I didn't put a large time slot in my day to talk to her. But I could tell as I was there, she needed to tell me something, and I can sense her energy and I felt her energy that she needs to let something out. She had just been in a new relationship and she told me how uncomfortable she was because this person made her knock on the door of the people across the street that they were playing loud music. And she was very upset that she had to do that. I said, so you knocked on their door and you said to turn down the music? She goes, yes, I couldn't believe I did that. And I completely changed her perception around, because she had a disability where she didn't feel comfortable getting her paperwork signed. She would have to make me do that. She didn't want to be in front of people or leave her house. She needed someone to go food shopping with her. And she was very scared to approach people. And, you know, I was working with her, trying to get her out of that. And at one point, you know, had to let her process getting things done on her own. But this one particular thing completely changed her mind frame when I just said to her, wow, you knocked on someone's door, someone who has been afraid to go get things signed, afraid to go shopping, man. So look at you and that strength you have. She goes, wow, you're right. I did it. I knocked on their door. I said, and that's strength. So her whole perception was changed around, and I realized the ability that I had in being able to do that. And it felt great. But I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't sense or stay all out of love to understand that there was something she needed to tell me. And whether or not I had that time in my day to reserve her for that, I needed to sit my butt down and understand what she was trying to tell me, because that was my obligation at that moment in time.
I also want to say, you know, the joys of being an empath, mm-hmm. you know, when you're able to feel, you know, that's a cool ability to be able to put your feet in somebody else's shoes, mm-hmm. and realize, like, this person may need to listen. That's probably what this person needs right now. Is they need to hear me, or I need to hear them. Yeah. But I know some type of transaction needs to happen right now. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's you caring, because these narcissists, they're not at that level. It's all about them. Yeah. They can't even see that you're hurting. They can't see that they're hurting you. Those stuff.
Unaware.
It's right above them, and they can't see it. And as much as they tell you, oh, I can change, I can do it, if you don't see them doing the real work, if you don't see them working on healing their inner child, if you don't see them like reading books or just trying to experience or putting themselves in environments that foster self-love, mm-hmm. improvement,
then or understanding.
Right. It's hard to take them seriously. Or you should not take them seriously, because they're not. That's what they do. That's what narcissists do. They're, you know, or energy vampires. They're very good at deception, mm-hmm. and lying to you and telling you the words that you want to hear or you think you should hear. Yes. But that's why you have to know yourself. That's why you have to have your healthy boundaries. That's why it's very crucial.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to have discernment, because yes. that's the biggest thing. And I think that as empaths, what our initial reaction is to try to help and try to make someone understand, mm-hmm. and try to make them feel better or fix it and do what we know should, you know, would help them. And in any way, whether it's helped ourselves or whether we know someone it's helped or something that can be an improvement, there's no getting through unless they're willing. And that all boils down to willingness and whether that switch of the block is on or off. And you can be blocking that part of yourself where it's internally hurting, whatever it is that triggers that, whether it's rejection, whether it's lack of love, whether it's absence or closeness. Sometimes some people aren't comfortable with being too close or affectionate, and, you know, even fit on a physical level. So I think all of that comes into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then that also segues into like the five love languages, knowing what you
right.
require.
Right. Right. You know? Taking that quiz and seeing what it is that you need.
Right. You know, taking that in, discernment, all of it. I mean, all of it is just designed to help you become a well-rounded person for yourself and for your partner, your family, and for your community at large. Mm-hmm. You know, there's power in knowing thyself.
Yeah.
And I strongly recommend it for anyone.
So what would you say, where someone can start, right? So we talked about hearts, and in the group, I was trying to play with it and trying to get people to help me come up with names of hearts and different things. And I came across this video that my father sent me of these cats eating. And, you know, if you look at the video, you'll see that there are 7 cats, and I didn't even realize that the father was there. I just knew that there was a cat, the mother in the background, just kind of like waiting for all the cats to eat. And, you know, if you look at that video, I asked people what they thought, where the father was, if the father or the mother was the one standing behind, and everyone said it right. So I think it's unfair to fathers first to always think that mothers are going to love them more, because in your specific situation, especially, that's not necessarily the case. But in most cases, I don't know. Right. I'm assuming that that could be an assumption, but I would just think that.
I mean, she loves her daughter too.
But there's a certain amount of love that if you're going to measure that, how would you? What exposure are you putting to your daughter? What kind of measurement of love is that? Ooh. Because if I knew that the exposure was getting to my daughter and that was going to be toxic or something for my daughter to witness, then no. Then I'm sorry. There can't be a level of love up there that. You know, I know it boils down to self-love, but having a child, if you can't sacrifice for the love of your child, then that's work. That's hard work to be able to have to do.
That's real talk.
And that's when it boils down to measurement. How can you measure love? Right. What is a measurement part of love? It really goes back to...
In all fairness, I mean, you really got to walk through fire and develop the skill of not getting burned.
It's interesting that you say that, because I think that's why it's so important for people to learn love. And it says right there in the Bible, whether you read it or not, it talks about heart, it talks about love and how to protect your heart and how Jesus loved. And if you think about it, that's what he would preach. He would preach love. He wasn't preaching religion and spiritualism and all of that. He was preaching love. And he picked disciples based on the potential. And if you want to define the word potential, that would be a fun thing to do if you like to play with words. But the potential of these people who... their testimony would speak volumes. Like, look at this guy. He used to be this, this, and that, and now he's on a path of love and following his heart. And I think that the Bible describes that too, where people can start if they were interested in learning about heart and love and how to heal themselves. You know, the stories in the Bible could be just screenplays that people were writing out. They can be little behind the scenes of what happened with the prophets and, you know, how they learned certain things and the walks that they took and, you know, the stories that they told. You create your own movie in a sense. Are you going to be the person who decides to change and walk on the right path, or are you going to be the person who decides to stay the same? And you can stay the same while walking on the right path. As long as there's progress and there's that momentum for change and you fire it up so that you can get that pendulum going and you can actually, it's about living. And I think being aware is being alive.
That was fire. Thank you. Wow. Wow, you just kept having me like, and then you tied it all back in with the fire and the pendulum. I was like, God, fire. Like, yeah, that's me with the
clock. I'm glad you could get my depth, because I think it's really
that was fire. The deep in me. Even breaking down the Bible as possible, like even like plays and like, whoa, like blew my mind right there again. I'm like, fire. So I mean, I like the flow of this and everything, and it's so like there's so many gems dropped that I'm going to end it here because it's so fire. It's just a lot of gems just dropped that people really gotta like hit play, hit rewind, listen to it, come back again. Like, yo, did you hear what she said? Did you hear what he said? Like, wow, like take that all in. I understand that's a lot. Like this right here, you know what I mean? I'm not even on some like narcissism or nothing like that, but this right here is like a $1,000 thing to get your life right. Like this is worth it. Like for real. But it's we giving it free. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's this is for the listeners, man. Yo, free yourselves. Real talk. Real quick, you know, we said, like, how could we speed up, you know, I mean, how can we get there? Yo, take walks in the forest. If you can, like, go to nature, spend some time in nature, man. It opens your heart up. Pets, if you are, be around animals, you know, I found myself donating your time. Like I did, what's that thing where you help build Habitats for Humanity? I did that. Like, you know, I donated like a lot of my clothes, like, I mean, good clothes, but I just saw myself as, you know, like somebody's going to wear the shirt to a job interview or something. I mean, like clothes, I mean, we're talking like some of the clothes still had tags on them, but I was just in that spirit, that heart of giving, you know, just opening my heart out to the world and let, you know, God know that, yo, I appreciate everything you're doing for me. And whatever I have, I'm going to share it. I'm going to give it to the world. So, you know, these are just quick steps. If you guys don't like meditating or meditating is too rough or whatever, it's too much, you know, journaling, you know, just writing out how your day was and or questioning what happened or why did you feel that way, or, you know, journaling, being outside in nature. If you, I mean, I don't want to get into people's diets and stuff, but if you can start like stepping away from the chemicals, like the GMOs and all that stuff, because that shit messes with your brain chemistry and it fogs up your mind. Mm-hmm. So if you can eat as clean as possible, eat organic. I'm not telling you to quit meat. For y'all who love meat, I respect that, but try to eat organic meat. You know, try to eat Alaskan caught fish and stuff. Like, don't, you know, not none of that what we call wild caught. Yeah, do the wild caught. Like, none of that farm raised and all of that. Like, pff, you know what I mean? Like, all of that's fake food.
Well, so, and that's a lot of stuff that I actually have to start getting better at and learning at. But going back to, like, going in nature or taking a walk or meditation, I think it really is just a walk of faith. And if you want to define faith, it's really just meaning trust the process. And where I want to really tie it all in is the fact that you're the Authentic Millennial podcast and how I'm trying to be able to relate to this new generation and teens on how they speak and how, you know, even when we were kids, we would say things that would mean the opposite of things like, yo, that's stupid, yo, or yo, you know, meaning the opposite of what we meant. Mm-hmm. But so I've had my daughter help me learn what certain things mean. And if I say, keep the faith, she'll say, no, Ma, nobody says that. It's called trust the process. Mm-hmm. And that really means something too, because it's a matter of being able to relay a message in different ways and speaking to the new generations on how they can do things the correct way. So they may be repelled by the word faith, but we could say trust the process, because faith really does mean trust.
Trust. And the biggest phrase for me that I would tell people, and trust me, when you get to this level, you'll know exactly what I'm saying. I can walk on water. Okay? That's all I gotta say to y'all. When you get to that level, when you get to that level and realize that I can walk on water, trust me, you'll be saying it out loud to yourself, and then you'll be saying it to some people, like people who you can trust with it. But trust me, you will get to that level. And you will know exactly what I mean when I say you can walk on water.
Yeah, and I think you also have to pay attention to your thoughts. And just like we're trying to bring it into a different lens for different generations and people and belief systems, is listen to what you're saying to yourself. Listen to your thoughts. Hear yourself when you're in that quiet zone. What are you saying to yourself?
Meditation.
Be able to turn that around, and whether you believe it or not, talk to yourself in a positive way. I'm going to have a great day.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really all what parts of the Bible are too. I mean, there's specific chapters in the Bible that are basically affirmations. And if you watch the videos that I post, or you can go through my timeline and see that this all speaks to that. This all speaks to how you do things all out of love.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're gonna end it right here, because if we go anymore, we're just gonna drop gems and we're just gonna run out of space.
it's more like diamonds. But before we go,
dropping diamonds,
I do want to read something that I wrote, and this was a while back posted back in 2013, right before I actually went on my journey to Christ. And I guess a part of me was all out of love, but was trying to describe how I go all out for love. And I'll start it here. I'm the type who gives their all even when the hope is gone, who sees the good in those who are not seen as strong. I sympathize with those who live a life full of lies and cry with those whom I see hurt in their eyes. I forgive those who have done me wrong and foresee the right path to follow along. I give respect even when it isn't deserved and ignore those who attempt to fill my heart with hurt. I love to love even when it gets hard, and simply all I ask is that it's not ignored. And I think that when you have someone there that can see that in you, then that's when you can use that as an example of how to do things all out of love. And I end it there.
Oh, beautiful. Yo, fire, fire. Fire.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed myself. I think that we accomplished tonight
thank
a lot.
You. Thank you. Jennifer, just tell the listeners real quick how they can find you.
Well, my Instagram is JenPaulaLove, but you can also search on Facebook the group Ace of Hearts. Now, I know there may be plenty, but the link is in my Instagram, JenPaulaLove. I also have an Instagram that I'm trying to start with this whole heart Ace of Heart thing, but it's Ace of Hearts with the zero in the of and the three in the love. I think that's correct.
Well, I'll put it in the show notes. No worries.
Great.
The listeners, you can definitely check the show notes and you'll be able to find Jennifer there. You know where to find me on Instagram at DJAce333. That's my time. Y'all been great and continue to live that authentic life. And good night.
I think we need to end on a high five.
Okay, oh, high five it is. Jesus. Oh, sorry if I hurt y'all ears, y'all. Man, they laughing about it. All right, y'all have a great night. Peace.